Hey, what's up, guys? It's your host, Ryan Sketch, here at Sketchbook Audio. That music you're listening to in the background? That's Blue October. They have a new song out called I Hope You're Happy. Now, interestingly enough, Blue October had another song called Hate Me that, while, you know, a little bit negative in its overall tone, it's pretty uplifting. Funny story, I got to meet the guys from Blue October at a sort of impromptu concert that they had at the, what is that called? The rock and roll, those restaurants that are rock and roll themed. Yeah, so I met them down at one in Detroit. I was walking past it, and they were selling, and I walked past early in the day, and they were selling tickets to go to that concert at that restaurant. And then afterwards, they had a meet and greet, and it was pretty awesome. So I got to sit front and center and watch them play their new album, Sway, I believe is what the album was called. And it's also one of my favorite songs. but they have this new album. I don't even know what it's called, but I Hope You're Happy is the name of the song that's like their number one single on that album. And I'm really excited because Sway, when I first heard that song live, I didn't hear too much of the rest of that album. They just wanted to, you know, do a lot of their old stuff. And they have a lot of albums, but they wanted to do a mix of everything, but they wanted to include two or three songs from Sway. Well, they also gave everybody a copy of Sway, autographed and everything, so that was really badass. But when I first heard that song, I was like, I need to get this album anyway. So by hook or by crook, I was going to get that album. And I did, and I went home, and I loved the rest of the album. There's probably only one song on there I didn't like. So I'm really hoping that this album turns out to be just as good. Anywho, I don't want to get off track too much about music. You guys have probably been wondering where I've been. Well, I'm going to tell you something a little bit sombering. My grandma passed away last Tuesday, and I've just been kind of in the dark for the past few days. And she was like the one person who really encouraged me to be me and to be creative and to have that creative spirit and to just see things in color, so to speak. So I really miss her, and it's definitely taken a toll on me. But fact of the matter is, being that she encouraged me to be expressive and be artistic, it would not honor her name if I just gave up and did nothing and, you know, put all that aside. I need to stay focused, and I need to honor her by continuing to draw. So I'm not going to let it get in my way. It hurts. It sucks. I'm really sad about it. And I had to take some time away from talking with you guys on Sketchbook Audio here. So I apologize, but I'm back. I'm back, and we're going to hit this hard. I know we've been talking about cars a lot, and I love cars. Who doesn't love cars? If you don't, well, first of all, you probably shouldn't be listening to this podcast. Second of all, what's wrong with you? Go get your head checked. Cars are freaking awesome. In fact, I just had a Dodge Demon blow past my house not too long ago, and I got really excited because, you know, it's cool that it's limited, right? They only made 300 and some odd numbers because there was a minor incident where some of them went up in flames. But so you don't get to see them very often. And it's really cool to know that I have one or two just right down the street, and I get to see them drive ridiculously fast up my back road. But anyways, so we talk about cars a lot, but there's so much more to design. And one of the things that I've been mentioning that I have failed to do for you guys is introduce you to a bunch of different books that will be great tools for you to really hone your skills, whatever it is, whether it's comic book design or shoe design, or you want to draw dragons and monsters and zombies and shit. I got that. concept art for video games, movies, etc. You name it, I have a library full of this stuff, and it would really benefit everybody if I just told you guys what all I have and show you guys what they are via the Sketchbook Audio Instagram account. Go ahead and log in there, take a look at the page. I'm going to start posting pictures of what I have, and let's dive into it. So on the concept art creative, well, I'm sorry, concept like for movies and special effects and video games, a couple of my favorites are this Darkworks book by Brahm. Brahm is a phenomenal artist. He's very dark. He's very moody and mysterious, super expressive, and very, very wild. His designs are just genius. But anyways, Brahm, I don't know too much about him. What I can tell you is he's been doing this for a long time. He's done stuff for Coke, Columbia Pictures, IBM. I think he even did some stuff for Dark Horse Comics. Doom 2, which is pretty badass. And some other things for Sega. So definitely, if you get a chance, go to a bookstore or a library, if they still exist around you. Or even Amazon. Hey, that's where Amazon started, was books, right? So Brahm Darkworks, and that's spelled dark, and then W-E-R-K-S. So I'm assuming he's German. Another one that I love, because it's just basic and so simple, but it's definitely something that everybody should have in their library. It's by Bernie Hogarth, Dynamic Figure Drawing. If you want to be in comic books, or actually just really anything, and you need to learn the human anatomy, this is the book to have. It gives you everything from perspective to proportions, muscle definition, and a lot of action poses. It's really hard to draw characters in action poses. And furthermore, it's really hard to see a lot of this in a setting that would allow you to draw it in the first place. You know, if you're watching sports, obviously nobody holds their pose for very long. So, you know, unless you pause the TV, you can't really get an idea of, you know, the pose and the form and the muscle. Of course, you know, you don't see really any of the muscles. So this is definitely a great book to have in your library, and I highly recommend it. I think I picked this thing up back in late 90s for $20. So I'm sure you can find it for cheaper. Another one, and this is actually just like a series of them. Especially if you love video games, definitely pick up any of the Art of, and then throw in whatever you want after that. It could be the Art of Avengers. It could be the Art of Jurassic Park. In this case, what I'm holding is the Art of Final Fantasy IX. It's one of my favorite Final Fantasies out of the 15 that they have so far, not including the sequels. And it gives you everything from character proportions to just character charts and layouts. It's a really good book to have, and it's fun. It's got pictures, not a lot of writing, just a lot of pictures. So that's great if you don't like to read. It doesn't show you really how to draw, which is fine. You don't necessarily need directions on how to draw things. Taking the time to look and see how an artist got from point A to point B, you can just see it in their work. Some of them do have, like, for instance, on the first, I don't know what pages is, there's no page numbers, but one of the characters, Iko Carroll, it shows kind of how the artist kind of started with the head and got into the body and the different costumes and then the color schemes. So definitely a good book to have. Any of the Art of, like I said, you can find the Art of almost any movie, especially if it's a sci-fi or a comic book movie. Comic book based movie. Another one, well, this one's actually about cars. Go figure, it's called How to Design Cars Like a Pro. It's by Tony Lewin and Ryan Boroff. Ian Callum the design director of Jaguar, who's come up with some phenomenal designs for Land Rover and Jaguar in the past few years. He has a foreword in this book. This is a great book that is an all-around, not only history book and history of design, but there's a little bit of a how-to, and you can see. So one thing I love about this book is it shows you the progression of design when it comes to the automotive world. It shows you where we've been, where cars started, and where we are now. I mean, this thing goes back to the 50s. You've got the original Mini Cooper. You've got the Jeep Wagoneer. I think it even shows you like the Model T and stuff like that. One nice chapter in here, chapter 8, what is good design? Highly recommend reading that. Basically, good design, especially when it comes to products, is you have the customer in mind, you have a good story, and the car or the product looks legit, right? So your proportions, your perspective, your color theory, all of that has to be sound. Otherwise, things fall flat on their face, they don't have the dimension, it's hard to sell, and then you're talking more than you are just letting your work talk for itself. So this is definitely a good book to have as well. It's got stuff by Gordon Murray, a lot of artists in here from pretty much every auto manufacturer, every major one anyways, a lot of Honda, a lot of Renault. One nice thing on page 134, which is part of chapter 13 under tutorials, it gives you all that stuff that you need to learn to have the foundations. Ellipses, perspective, 2-point, 3-point, single point, vanishing points, horizon line, all the good definitions and stuff, proportions, simple shading of vehicles, not only just on a plan view or a profile view, but also in a three-quarters view, three-quarters top-down, three-quarters kind of tipped up, how to render quickly in Photoshop. And then, you kind of just take what you learned from here and you put it to the pen and pad, so to speak, or to the computer. And I've had this book for a while. I keep coming back to it every now and again. One of the things I really enjoy about this book is you can see how some of the classic cars, their highlights, their shadows, their form, were just so sleek and, in a way, simple, but so elegant. And they're a great way to, do a quick render study. Your brights were bright, and your dark tones, your shadows, they were dark, and they had a smooth progression. Now, a lot of vehicles have all these different ins and outs, undercuts, just weird body forms that make it a little more difficult to get the basics. So this is definitely a good book to have to understand the basics so that you can be better at the more advanced stuff. So highly recommend that. That's how to design cars like a pro. Now, here's one of my favorites, and this is back to concept art. There's a guy out there whom many of you I'm sure know, but Sid Mead. Sid Mead is the man. The guy can draw, the guy can paint, the guy can teach. And in his book, Century 2, it's just a collection of all of his best work and some dialogue from him, some dialogue about where the direction was for some of his paintings. And Blade Runner, he did some stuff for that. Jetsons, he did some work for that. I'm sure a lot of people got some inspiration for Halo from Sid Mead. There was a movie not too long ago with Matt Damon. I can't remember the name of it right now, but not too long ago that he did sort of the spaceship that Elysium. He did that. And there's actually a scene in Elysium that is a direct copy, essentially, of his, one of his larger paintings. Sound of Thunder, which was a pretty cool movie. Didn't do well in the theaters at all, but the art direction was phenomenal. Mission Impossible, did some renders for Ford. Tried to bring the Model A and the Model T to a more modern day design language. The guy just does everything. He understands the human figure and he understands vehicles phenomenally. And this is definitely a book I would highly recommend you guys get if you can. If you go to the Art Institute or any other art type college, usually they have it in those schools. I know at the Art Institute of Pittsburgh, at Savannah College of Art and Design and the College for Creative Studies, you can get this book in one of their student stores. If you want, you can also go to the website, sydmead.com. That's www.sydmead.com, sydmead.com. And you can get the book there. I love this book. And I actually was lucky enough to have him come to CCS, and he signed this for me while we were having lunch. It was pretty funny, but that's that, yeah. Another one that you guys definitely should have if you're into comic books is How to Draw Comics the Marvel Way. And I'm missing it, apparently. But anywho, that's definitely one to get. And if you're a big Marvel fan, you'll love and respect the fact that there was a lot of dialogue from Stan Lee. And God rest his soul, he is no longer with us, which is a shame. But he left some great memories and he left some great work behind. So it's definitely something that we can learn from. Another one, if you're into animation, I'll give you three, actually, if you're into animation. Richard Williams' The Animator Survival Kit. It's a big book, but this gives you all the basics of animation for timing, for key shots, poses and perspective, just simple, straight on, walking towards you or panning from left to right, walking across the scenes type. And I love it because it's so expressive. It gives you, it's not flat. It really dives into what Disney animators used to do and what a lot of 2D animators, unfortunately, no longer really do. For the big screen anyways, but there's still a lot of TV shows that get done in this way. And even if you're doing 3D animation, you still need to learn, simple keyframing and getting the rhythm down for whether it's 24 point, whatever it is, 24 point something, or is it 26 point something frames per second. And then 30 something frames per second and 60 frames per second, all that stuff. You need to learn that stuff so that your animations aren't, first of all, flat. Second of all, that they actually feel natural and that they feel like they could be real. Yes, in cartoons, there's exaggerations, but if you don't have those exaggerations and if you don't have the timing down right and if you don't have enough frames in there, they look boring and people can't really get involved. And they see it. They know it. The human eye can catch a half-assed animation. And then they can see the animations that really put the time into it. So, and of course, there are ways to cheat it. But this book will tell you all of it. It'll tell you how to cheat it and it'll tell you how to do it right. And there's a time and place for everything. So here's an interesting fact. Toy that a lot of people don't know. A lot of times and this is kind of along the lines of cheating in animation, a lot of times an environment in a 3D world will have, it's super expansive. It's just massive. Well, the camera is only focused on what's, in its immediate vicinity, or what's around the main character. So a lot of times animators and 3D studio program, 3D studios will not put a lot of detail and a lot of memory into what's far off in the distance. You get the idea that it's there, they'll do a lot of atmospheric elements, but that they don't have the high levels of detail that something would if it's, you know, the camera's right up close on its face or something. So that's kind of one way to quote-unquote cheat it. Another book is called Cartoon Animation by Preston Blair. That's another must-have. It's very similar to the last book that I mentioned, The Animator Survival Kit. But this one actually, one of the differences is it shows animals. And it definitely helps you with four-legged creatures that walk and taking certain four-legged creatures and making them anthropomorphic. And, you know, like Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck, things like that, to give them more of a human quality. So that's in here. There are actually some Disney characters in here. But and another one, and this one I love because you can't be a good animator if you don't know how to act. What I mean by that is if you don't know how to laugh, if you don't know how to make people laugh, if you don't know how to jump up and down or swing a baseball bat or do prep jokes, pratfalls, understand facial expressions and stuff like that, you're going to have a hard time being an animator in the actual drawing things. So this one doesn't really teach you how to draw in any way. What it does is it teaches you how to act and how to bring life to your characters in a way that the pencil can't quite do. So even if you're just trying to, if you want to be an actor, this is a great book to have because it teaches you how to be animated and how to get into that moment, how to get into that character. It actually has some foreword from Brad Bird. So definitely think that you should have this in your repertoire if you're going to be an animator or an actor. And I've mentioned this series before because I think they're awesome. They're simple, they're quick, they're pretty affordable, and, well, my two buddies started the company, but the iDraw series, it keeps getting bigger. It started off with the iDraw Cars series, and of course, you can pick these up pretty much in any student store, but at least the iDraw Cars one, but now they have iDraw Shoes, iDraw Comics, iDraw Manga, couple other things they're slowly coming out with, but I have these and I love them. I haven't really opened up this iDraw Comics one, which is a shame because it looks like I have. I've drawn a couple. So this one will teach you in a very quick and simplified way the hardcore things that you would have pulled from the dynamic figure drawing or that how to draw Marvel Comics the Marvel way. This gives you the nitty-gritty, so things like perspective, 1-point, 2-point perspective, even 3-point perspective if you're trying to do like Spider-Man stuff with big cities, proportion, male and female figure drawing, proportions of just the head itself, and then it lets you draw what you've learned. So not only does it have faces and bodies in just one pose, it starts to turn them and add some perspective to them. And then, as you get a little bit more advanced, it teaches you how to panel and how to do layouts and the principles behind that. So that's a good one if you're a comic book artist or you want to be a comic book artist. And, now, the pages are a little small, so it is kind of hard if you're not used to drawing in a very tiny format. What I would recommend you doing is getting the book and then scanning it and making copies and just enlarge them. And then you can have as many of those as you want and practice just like that. It's all the same. Just some people prefer a larger format and some prefer a smaller format. I can do a little bit of both, but if I'm being honest, I prefer somewhere in the middle. I don't like big massive pieces of paper. I just get lost in the drawing and then perspective and everything gets way whack. But I don't like super small because it kind of limits, or it can anyways. Some people do it phenomenally well, but it can limit your hand motion and force you to kind of draw very scratchy, I guess. But like I said, some people learn to overcome that and make beautiful pieces of art just on a post-it. So those are some of the books that I have. There's some of the tools that I have at my disposal. And, if you need more advice on where to get some of these things, just shoot me a message. I'd be happy to talk about them or show you where to get them. Like I said, I'm going to post some pictures of these on the Instagram page, Sketchbook Audio, Sketchbook _ Audio. And yeah, it'll be a good time. Because I wasn't necessarily planning on having this episode today in light of what had happened last week, I don't have too much to talk about. And in the automotive world, not too much has happened. And I don't want to talk too much about the Ford Escape that was just revealed, but I'm going to mention it real quick. And that's just to say, I like it. The exterior is way better now than what it ever was. It's not quite the Ford Focus that I wish we were going to get, because we were supposed to get the Ford Focus Active, and then due to tariffs and all that other good stuff, Ford decided, now we're just going to sell this car in Europe, build it in China. Whatever. Not a big deal. But it's a nice-looking car. It's a really good attempt at a affordable crossover that's actually kind of sporty-looking. I don't know how it's going to drive or how sporty it's going to be in that athletic sense as far as power goes. But I'd imagine the hybrid models will do quite well with that added torque. The one thing I didn't like, and this is just like a warning to people who are trying to translate something like the Ford Focus into a crossover, be careful with the proportions of things on the interior. I don't think Ford did a horrible job. I just think that they did it so quickly to fix the issue that they had, which was, we can't sell the Focus here in the United States anymore, so we're going to make the Ford Escape and make it as close to the Ford Focus as we can. That saves a lot of money on engineering costs. Maybe there's even a lot of part sharing. I don't know. But, there's things that go on in the background that we don't get to see, and I can't really make too many judgments about it. But try to understand the scaling of a smaller vehicle to a larger vehicle. Again, Ford did a pretty good job with it. I like it. It's much better than the one that's out right now. So I'm actually kind of excited to get in one of these and see how it handles. The last thing I'll mention is the Jeep Gladiator, and I'm not going to hold it too long. I just wanted to mention the prices are out, and I'm drooling right now because I want one even more now, knowing that it's not as expensive as everybody was thinking it was going to be. Yes, you can top out a Rubicon at $62,000. Whereas you could top out a Wrangler Rubicon at 54, 55. So, you get the truck bed. You get better off-road handling, really. You don't get the approach angle that the Wrangler has, but or maybe it's the departure angle or the breakover angle. Some of those angles aren't as good on the Gladiator as they are on the Wrangler, but whatever. It's an amazing looking truck, and I can't wait to get in one. So that's it for today, guys. I only have 54 seconds left to talk to you. Be good to one another. We live too short. And the biggest takeaway from all of this has to be you, be comfortable in you. And if you're an artistic person and you're here to learn and be artistic, you have to do that. You have to do it on a regular basis. You have to keep practicing. You have to have the want and the drive to be in this kind of field, in a creative field. So don't give up on it. Keep fighting the good fight. And we will talk next Tuesday here on Sketchbook Audio. Thanks for tuning in, guys. And we will talk next week.